الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، a previous class we have begun discussing, the author is mentioning رحمه الله تعالى about شروط لا إله إلا الله, the conditions of لا إله إلا الله. We have seen that some of the people of knowledge refer to these affairs as conditions, شروط, and others they call them حقائق, حقوق, they call them حقوق or قيود, conditions or requirements or rights, any in order for this statement to be beneficial. And they are clarified, these conditions and requirements, these rights, they're derived from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, just like the conditions and requirements for the Tahara and the Salah and the rest of the actions of worship. They have conditions that are well known, and those conditions are derived from the text of the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. This is something established in the same manner. These conditions here of La ilaha illallah, they are derived from the text of the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. We have seen some benefits with regards to this in our previous class. Now the author is going to discuss each condition one by one. Each condition one by one. But before we began reading, we continue from where we left off, and we have some homework. Some of the students, they mentioned that they were going to review some lines of poetry. Who kept true to his word? Now,
فإنه لا ين... لم ينسف قائلها إلا من حيث
بالنطق
بالنطق إلا من حيث يستكملها
إلا حيث
إلا حيث يستكملها العلم العلم واليقين العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد قدر ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والصدق والإخلاص والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفقك الله لما أحب.
آمين. اللهم بارك. أحسنت أحسنت. وجاهدهم 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 به جهادا كبيرا. طالب العلم هو الجهاد الكبير. لازم أن تجاهد نفسك على أن تحفظ وأن تفهم ثم أن تعمل. بارك الله فيك. أحسنت. Seeking knowledge is a great jihad, a great jihad. You have to strive against your soul to learn the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to understand it, and strive to memorize these texts and to learn them, and then strive to implement them in your life. And once you establish that in application, alhamdulillah, from the grace of Allah, you strive against your soul to share that knowledge and to spread it with the people, seeking the pleasure in the face of Allah. And you strive to be patient upon that way and the harms that you face on that path until you meet your Lord. May Allah grant us success. Ahsanta Rayyan, Barakallah Fiqh. That's excellent. Who else? I can call names. I remember. Wabi Shurutin.
Wabi Shurutin Sabatin Gatweed.
Wafi Nususi.
Wafi Nususi Hakan.
Al Wahi.
Wafi Nususi. Wabi Shurutin Sabatin Gatweed. Wafi Nususi Wahi Hakan Wadadad. فإنه لم ينتفع قائلها بالنطق إلا حيث يستكملها العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد قدر ما أقول والعلم والسرء والإخلاص والمحبة وفق الله.
آمين. الله بارك. أحسنت أحسنت. Someone else. Muhammad, he wasn't here yesterday. You ready?
No, another one.
We want this one. وبشروط سبعة قد قيدت وفي نصوص الوحي حقا وردت فإنه لم ينتفع قائلها بالنطق إلا حيث يستكملها بالنطق إلا حيث يستكملها وبشروط سبعة قد قيدت. And with seven conditions, the statement has been confined and restricted. Yani there must be these seven conditions. There's a requirement for the statement. Yani to be beneficial. وبشروط سبعة قد قيدت وفي نصوص الوحي حقا وردت. And in the text of the revelation, in truth, they have come. These conditions or requirements, these rights, that are established, that must be brought for the statement La ilaha illallah to be upright and beneficial, they have come in the text of the revelation. What is he referring to? وَفِي نُسُوسِ الْوَحْيِ حَقًّا وَرَدَتْ يعني في نصوص القرآن والسنة in the وحي, in the revelation, in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَنْتَفِعْ قَائِلُهَا بِالنُّطْقِ إِلَّا حَيْثُ يَشْتَمِلُهَا. Because indeed the one who pronounces the shahada لا إله إلا الله, he will never benefit from it, any from his pronunciation, until he brings these requirements, rights and conditions. العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد فضل ما أقول العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد فدري ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفقك الله لما أحب. Somebody else. Adam. Ameen. Ahsanta. Allahumma barik. You got to get the two lines before that, inshallah. Yomi. Wabi shurutin sab'atin qad quyidat. Wafi nusus al-wahyi haqqan waradat. Okay, you got it. Zakallah khair. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. Somebody else on the left side. Where?
Ali.
I didn't see. Ali.
The last one.
Had what you got? Ameen. Allahumma barik. Ahsanta. We'll work on the first part, right? وَبِي شُرُوطٍ سَبْعَةٍ قَدْ قُيِّدَتْ وَفِي نُصُوصِ الْوَحْيِ حَقٌّ وَرَدَتْ فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَنْتَفِعْ قَائِلُهَا بِالنُّطْقِ إِلَّا حَيْثُ يَسْتَكْمِلُهَا بِالنُّطْقِ إِلَّا حَيْثُ يَسْتَكْمِلُهَا. Somebody else? نعم. Ameen. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. You see, it ends with with dua. Waffaqaka Allahu lima ahabba. May Allah grant you success to what He loves. What does He love? He loves for you to establish La ilaha illallah, to justify to that statement, and to learn it, and to know it, and to believe in it, and to love it, and to strive against your soul to uphold the rights of that until you die. This is what Allah loves. This is a great dua. Ameen. وَفَقَّكَ اللَّهُ لِمَا أَحِبَّ. So these conditions here, there are how many? Seven. And the evidence for these conditions are found where? In the Quran and in the Sunnah. And it's clarified there likewise, and understood that this statement will not benefit until a person establishes these conditions. Just like if he made wudu and he left off a condition. Just like if he made salah and he left off a condition. Would his wudu be correct? Would his salah be correct? If he performs zakat but he left off a condition. If he fasted the month of Ramadan but left off a condition. Would it be accepted? Why not? Because he didn't bring the condition for the worship to be accepted. Because he didn't bring the condition for the worship to be accepted. This is something well known. There's conditions for these actions of worship. There's conditions for these rites. You can't just do them however you like. Whether there's conditions. Where are these conditions derived from? From a clear text in the Quran where Allah says that the conditions of salat are this many? Is there a verse in the Quran stating that the conditions of zakat are this many? Is there a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim and the other books of the Sunnah where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that the conditions of ghusl janabah are this many? So where did the people of knowledge come with these conditions then? What was the answer? At-tatabbu' wa istiqra'. At-tatabbu' wa istiqra'. Tatabba'u an-nusus wa istiqra'uha. They search and they research the text over and over and over and examine them in detail by subject, and they look in the subject of salat, for example, and they study all of the authentic evidences with regards to that until they find that these issues here, these are conditions for the salat to be accepted. And then they'll even go further. They'll go further and they'll examine and they'll find out these actions here, these are pillars for the salat. They must be established. And these actions here, they're wajibat. These actions here, they're sunan. And the likes like this. So there's no narrations clarifying these affairs. The people of knowledge have examined the text in great detail and derived these issues from the authentic text to facilitate and make it easy for the worship to be valid and to be good, and accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah accept from them. The same issue here is with regards to these conditions. There is no difference whatsoever. It's the same affair. These conditions of shurut la ilaha illallah are derived in the same manner. So now we discuss them one by one. And again, the author here in this work is the summarized version. So who mentioned one evidence from the Quran and another evidence from the Sunnah? Maybe sometimes three evidences instead of two. But in general, this is his methodology here. But if somebody wanted to go into greater detail, then he will return back to Ma'arij al-Qabul, which is the explanation of Sulam al-Wusul, fi ilmi al-Wusul, fi tawheedillahi wa tiba' al-Rasul, the poem about, which is the explanation of his poem about the issues of tawheed and following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tawheed of Allah and following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we take them briefly. He says, سؤال ما دليل اشتراط العلم من الكتاب والسنة? What is the evidence for the requirement of knowledge from the Quran and the Sunnah? And what is the evidence for the fact that knowledge is a condition? Knowledge is a condition. We're talking about this, right? Knowledge is a condition. But before that, what does it mean to have knowledge? Knowledge of what? العلم بمعناها نفيا وإثباتا. Go back to the page before this. شروطها سبعة الأول العلم بمعناها نفيا وإثباتا. This is what we spent the last four classes on. بارك الله فيكم. The meaning of the shahada. The first two points here, the first two conditions, this is what our previous classes were upon. Actually, all of it was about this. We can derive this from those classes. Alhamdulillah, if we understand clearly. So, al-awwal al-ilmu bima'naha nafyan wa ithbata. You have to know the meaning of this testimony, what it negates and what it affirms. We have seen that in great detail, alhamdulillah. We have seen that in great detail, alhamdulillah. So, many evidences that we have to study more than what he's mentioning. But we just clarify. We read what he mentions now, and we can move on, alhamdulillah, because we discussed it in great detail. قول الله تعالى الجواب قول الله تعالى إلا من شهد بالحق أي بلا إله إلا الله وهم يعلمون بقلوبهم معنى ما نطقوا به بألسناتهم. He says the answer is that Allah the Most High, he said, except him who bears witness to the truth. And this is Surah Zukhruf. إلا من شهد بالحق وهم يعلمون. إلا من شهد بالحق وهم يعلمون. And there will be no opportunity for intercession on the day of resurrection. إلا من شهد بالحق وهم يعلمون. Except for those who bear witness to the truth while they know. So the author is saying that the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, except for those who bear witness to the truth, this is in reference to the statement لا إله إلا الله. إلا من شهد بالحق أي إلا من شهد بلا إله إلا الله. وهم يعلمون وهم يعلمون شاهدوا شاهد من شاهد بالحق وهم يعلمون. They bear witness to the truth, to the testimony لا إله إلا الله, while they know. He says while they know in their hearts the meaning of لا إله إلا الله. While they know, meaning that the meaning they know in their hearts, the meaning of what their tongues have spoken. They know in their hearts the meaning of what their tongues have spoken. What he's mentioning here is summarized. But if you look in the books of Tafsir, like in Tafsir al-Tabari and the likes like this, you will find this narrated from the people of knowledge. This is the understanding. إِلَّا مَا شَهِدَ بِالْحَقِّ إِنِ شَهِدَ بِلَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَعْنَى مَا شَهِدُوا بِهِ. They testify to the truth and they know the meaning of that which they testify to. This is a clear text from the Quran. وَقَوْلُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And the evidence from the evidence from the Sunnah is the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ. مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ. Whoever dies, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever dies while knowing that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah shall enter paradise. So we mentioned in our previous class, barakallahu fikum, that there are texts with regards to the virtues of la ilaha illallah that have come in general, and there are texts that have come specifically. These specific texts, this is what we're discussing now, in each one of these conditions. So there's general texts mentioning the virtue of la ilaha illallah, and the one who says it, and the one who his last words from this dunya is la ilaha illallah into paradise. That's general, with no mention of whether he knows what it means, or whether he was truthful with regards to that, or whether he established the rights of that. It's just mentioned absolutely. So those absolute texts are understood by these specific texts here. This is the point now. That those absolute texts are understood, and their understanding is restricted. That the understanding of those absolute texts is restricted by these texts. This is what He means وَبِشْرُوطٍ سَبْعَةٍ قَدْ قُيِّدَتْ. And by these texts here, by these texts here. مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. This is the hadith of Uthman and it's رضي الله عنه, the hadith of Uthman رضي الله عنه, and it's collected by Imam Muslim. Whoever dies while he knows La ilaha illallah, then he went to paradise. Then he went to paradise. So this is very clear, along with the evidences that we had discussed in our previous classes. Su'al, ma dalil ishtirafi al-yaqeen min al-kitabi wa sunnah? What's the evidence for the requirement, the condition of certainty from the Quran and the sunnah? And he meaning that not only must you have knowledge of this statement, what it is negating and affirming, also you must have certainty with regards to that. You must have certainty with regards to that. He says, Al-Jawab, قول الله عز وجل. The response is the statement of Allah عز وجل. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا إلى قوله أولئك هم الصادقون ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم أنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون أولئك هم الصادقون. The statement of Allah, the Almighty, only those are believers who have believed in Allah and His Messenger and afterward do not have any doubt. Do not have any doubt. The believers are none but those who believe in Allah and in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma lam yartabu. And then they had, after that, no doubt. After that, they had no doubt. So if they had no doubt, what does that mean? It means that they had certainty. Mean that they have certainty. So if there is no doubt, then that means there is certainty. If there's no doubt, that means there is certainty. Whenever he mentioned here, Athani istiqanu al-qalbi biha. So some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned al-yaqeen al-munafi al-munafi al-shakki wal-rayb. Al-yaqeen al-munafi al-shakki wal-rayb. Meaning that one who has certainty, that will remove all doubts or suspicion. All doubts and suspicion. You remove all of that. You have to have certainty until these doubts and suspicions, doubts, Are all gone. Any ambiguities, huh? You understand? So this is the evidence. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. The believers and none other. And they're only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they have no doubt. We see what it means to believe in Allah. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. To believe that Allah alone is worthy of worship. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that anything that's worshipped besides him is falsehood. And to believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to believe that he is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent with guidance and light, and he's the final and the last prophet sent to all mankind. So those who truly believe in Allah and his Messenger, they are those who believe and then they have no doubts. يعني أنهم أيقنوا استيقنوا. They have certainty. They have certainty. وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله لا يلقى الله بهما عبد غير شاك فيهما إلا دخل الجنة. And the evidence here also from the Sunnah is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "I bear witness." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that I am the Messenger of Allah." And that I am the Messenger of Allah. The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that I am the Messenger of Allah. No servant meets Allah with these two statements without having any doubts in them whatsoever, except he will enter paradise. Except he will enter paradise. So here the shahid here, لَا يَلْقَى اللَّهَ بِهِمَا عَبْدٌ غَيْرَ شَاكٍ فِيهِمَا إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That no slave will meet Allah with these two testimonies. يعني شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وشهادة أن محمدا رسول الله. لا يلقى الله عبد بهما غير شاك بهما. Without having any doubts in them whatsoever. Then he went to paradise. Then he went to paradise. This is also collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه. رضي الله عنه. In one word, غير شاك فيحجب عن الجنة. And then he would be forbidden from the paradise, meaning he will never be forbidden from the paradise. The one who meets Allah without having any doubts in these two testimonies, he will never be forbidden or veiled from the paradise, meaning he will enter paradise, he will enter Jannah. But there is the condition here. And يكون غير شاك فيهما. He has no doubt. يعني أنه مستيقن. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي هريرة رضي الله عنه من لقيت وراء هذا الحائط يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله مستيقنا مستيقنا بها قلبه فبشره بالجنه. كلاهما في الصحيح في حديث الهساس. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, whoever you meet beyond this wall, and he testifies that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah with certainty in his heart, then give him glad tidings of paradise. Then give him glad tidings of paradise. There's a mistake at the bottom. It should say, the author, he says, both of them are in the Sahih, yani Sahih Muslim. Both of them are in the Sahih, yani Sahih Muslim. These narrations here are both from the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and they're both in Sahih Muslim. So it's clear, the issue about entering paradise. For the one who says, La ilaha illallah, here the condition, أن يكون غير شاك بهما, أو أن يكون مستيقنا بها قلبه. مستيقنا بها قلب, يقول لا إله إلا الله مستيقنا بها قلبه. Understand that? He says لا إله إلا الله and his heart has certainty with regards to that. Meaning he has no doubt. He says لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله and he has no doubt whatsoever with regards to that. This is the one that went to paradise. So one, he must have knowledge, and that knowledge, it must be sound and it must be certain. It must be sound and it must be certain. He must have knowledge of what the statement negates. Negating the right of worship from everything in every manner, absolutely, besides Allah, and affirming that right of worship in all aspects for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. La ma'buda bihaqin illallah. And then after that, be certain. And the means to achieve certainty is by studying time after time, being truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the pleasure of Allah and studying the book in the sunnah, studying the evidences of the Quran, studying the evidence of the authentic sunnah, studying the evidences or studying the statements and the fatwa of the sahaba and the tabi'een, and likewise pondering over the creation, the signs of Allah in the creation, the universal signs, and pondering over the signs of Allah in the Quran, in the legislation. And in this manner, time after time, little by little, a person who will reach certainty. Here is certainty. So that was the aim and goal from the classes that we had. We studied so many evidences from the Quran, time after time after time, clarifying that meaning, establishing the negation affirmation. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ. All of these evidences are clarifying the meaning. With قال إبراهيم لأبيه وقومه إنني براء مما تعبدون إلا الذي فطرني. So all of this is clarifying the negation and affirmation, negating the right of worship from everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely in every manner. And affirming it for Allah alone from every aspect. Every aspect of worship is the right of Allah alone. And anything that's worship besides Allah in any manner, any way, is falsehood. And that thing is not worthy of worship. This is what we discussed in our previous classes, alhamdulillah. Likewise, we've seen narration after narration. Inna Allah ya rida lakum thalatha. We've seen about that affair. And likewise, ya mu'adh, tadri ma haqqu Allah 'ala al-ibad wa haqqu al-ibadi 'ala Allah. We've seen the meaning of right there. Buniya al-islam 'ala khams. All of these narrations clarifying the meaning here of the statement, la ilaha illallah, the negation and the affirmation. The negation and the affirmation. Rather, the athkar that you make after the salawat, 5 times a day. We discussed that in our previous class likewise. The hadith of Mughira and the hadith of Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhum, then clarifying this proper meaning. Allah na'buda illallaha wahdahu la sharika lahu mukhlisina lahu deen. That's the meaning of the shahada. That we should not worship anyone except for Allah. Allah with no partners, making the obedience, the religion, the surrender and submission, devotion, humbleness for Allah alone. Purity. Purity. Well, okay, even if the disbelievers, they don't like that. So now, after seeing these evidences time after time, then if you look around in the creation, you look in yourself, in your life, you ponder over the experiences that you have seen yourself, you will come to this reality by the grace of Allah. If you're truthful, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ma'budu bihaqqin illallah. You have certainty. You have certainty. This is the manner to reach certainty. أَتَكُونَ غَيْرَ شَاكٍ فِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَتَكُونَ مُسْتَيْقِنًا بِهَا قَلْبُكَ. This is what you're striving for. This is why you seek knowledge. Everything that you learn after this about the deen of Islam is based upon this affair. The tahara and the wudu and the ghusl, janaba and the salah and the zakat and the rights of the spouses and the neighbors and the transactions and the bill and the dealings and the halal and the haram is all based upon this. You do it based upon this for the sake of Allah according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it requires knowledge and likewise certainty. Certainty. Here after this, the author says, سؤال ما دليل اشتراط الانقياد من الكتاب والسنة. What's the evidence for the requirement? With the الانقياد, any compliance from the Quran and the Sunnah. Al-Jawab, قال الله تعالى وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. And the evidence for this is the statement of Allah the Most High, and whoever submits his face and himself to Allah wholeheartedly, and he follows Allah's religion of Islam and monotheism sincerely, and he is a muhsin, meaning a good doer, performs good deeds totally for the sake of Allah without any show off or to gain praise or fame in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold, and in the statement la ilaha illallah. So al-istislam lillahi hu al-inqiyad, and it's to surrender to Allah means to comply. This is what we have seen before. Al-islam huwa al-istislamu lillahi bil-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bil-ta'ah wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. So one, he must have an inqiyad, and he must comply to the commandments and prohibitions in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ وَحَدُّكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَابَعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ. And also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, none of you truly believes that his desires are in accordance with what I have brought. That his desires are in accordance with what I have brought. This is connected by Tirmidhi. And from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, some of the people of knowledge have declared it to be acceptable, and others they have declared it to be weak and unacceptable. But even those who declare it to be weak and unacceptable, they agree that the meaning is correct. And there are other evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah that establish this meaning. لا يؤمن أحدكم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبع لما جئت به. Now one of you believes, يعني لا يؤمن أحدكم الإيمان الكامل. He says, not one of you truly believes in a complete faith until his desires are in accordance to what I came with. Until his desires are in accordance to what I came with. From the evidences that support this meaning here is a statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So all of this is established. There must be an inqiyad. A person, he must comply. He must comply to the commandments and prohibitions, to the law and legislation and application, and inwardly and outwardly. سؤال ما دليل اشتراط القبول من الكتاب والسنة. What is the evidence for the condition of acceptance, القبول, from the Quran and the Sunnah? الجواب قال الله تعالى في شأن من لم يقبلها. The response, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says with regards to the one who did not accept it. احشروا الذين ظلموا وأزواجهم وما كانوا يعبدون إلى قوله إنهم كانوا إذا قيل لهم لا إله إلا الله يستكبرون ويقولون إنا لتاركوا آلهتنا لشاعر مجنون الآيات. So he mentioned here the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal regarding those who did not accept that statement, and the meaning of which is, it will be said to them, assemble those who did wrong, and the wrongdoers together with their companions from the devils and what they used to worship, until his statement, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly they used to be proud and arrogant, and they would reject and rebel arrogantly and proudly when it was said to them, La ilaha illallah. And they were saying, are we going to abandon our aliha, our gods, for the sake of a mad poet? For the sake of a crazy poet? Isha'in al-Majnun, this man is a poet, he's crazy, he lost his mind. So they refused. They did not accept it. They refused and they did not accept it, and they did not accept it. So the author, he says after this, وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَثَلُ مَا بَعَثَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْعِلْمِ كَمَثَلِ الْغَيْثِ الْكَثِيرِ أَصَابَ أَرْضًا فَكَانَ مِنْهَا نَقِيَّةٌ قَابِلَةُ الْمَاءِ فَأَنْبَتَتْ الْكَلَأَ وَالْعُشْبَ الْكَثِيرَ وَكَانَ مِنْهَا أَجَادِبُ أَمْسَكَتِ الْمَاءَ فَنَفَعَ اللَّهُ بِهِ النَّاسَ فَشَرِبُوا وَسَقَوْا وَزَرَعُوا وَأَصَابَ مِنْهَا طَائِفَةً أُخْرَى إِنَّمَا هِيَ قِعَانٌ لا تمسك ماء ولا تنبت كلاء فذلك مثل من فقه في دين الله ونفعه ما بعثني الله به فعلم وعلم ومثل من لم يرفع بذلك رأسا ولم يقبل هدى الله الذي أرسلت به ولم يقبل هدى الله الذي أرسلت به. And likewise he mentioned here the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the example of the guidance and knowledge with which Allah has sent me with is like abundant rain falling on the earth. Some of it was fertile soil. Some of it was fertile soil that absorbed the water and brought forth vegetation and grass in abundance. Another portion of it was hard land that held the water. And Allah benefited the people with it, and they drank and gave to others to drink, and used it for irrigation. And a portion of it was barren, neither held the water nor brought forth vegetation. That is the example of the one who comprehends Allah's religion and benefits from the message with which Allah sent me and learns and teaches it. And the example of the one who neither raises his head with it nor accepts the guidance of Allah with which I was sent. The guidance of Allah with which I was sent. This is a tremendous narration collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the Haditha Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, who studied it numerous times and in detail and taking benefits from the works of Ibn Qayyim with regards to this particular narration. Whenever we studied Fadla'il al-Qur'an by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and likewise, whenever we studied the summarized version of Akhlaq Hamalati al-Qur'an, we studied in detail. Now we just want to take the point of evidence, the fact that there's example. The example here of the knowledge and guidance that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with is that of the rain. It brings life. It brings life to those who accept it. It brings life to those who accept it. But those who reject it do not benefit from it. And those who accept, and the people, their hearts are compared to the land. So there are some hearts that are good, that absorb the water and benefit, from that themselves and bring benefit to others. And others, they're also good, but they're not of that benefit, but they contain the water. So there's types of land. The soil is good and fertile, and it will produce crops, and the animals and the people will benefit from that. And likewise, the earth itself will be beautiful. Full of different colors and different crops and different fruits and different herbs. And as well, the people and animals, they benefit. Then there are other types of land that are hard. And they're hard and they hold the water. And the people, they come and benefit from it still. Likewise, and the animals. So this is the example of those who accept the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them, they have knowledge and the people benefit from them. And others, they have knowledge and they have a great portion of that, and they benefit, and their benefit is widespread. They benefit themselves and they benefit others in a great manner. Different levels of those who benefit from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there's the example of the hard land that the water comes and runs off of and does not benefit whatsoever. And this is an example of the one who did not accept the guidance of Allah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he was sent with. So the head of that guidance is the statement la ilaha illallah. So the people of knowledge, they have spoken about these issues here, these two, al-qabul wal-inqiyad. And they're very similar, but there are differences. And some of the people of knowledge, they have differed with regards to their interpretation. And Allah knows best, we say in summary, that al-inqiyad is the fruit of al-qabul. So al-qabul, you have to accept it. Meaning you accept the law and legislation wholeheartedly. You accept the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it reaches you that this is an obligation, you believe in it. If it reaches you that this is forbidden and not allowed, then you believe in it. If it reaches you that this is lawful and permissible, then you believe in it. If it reaches you that this is haram, then you believe in it. Like this, you believe in the obligations, you believe in the commandments, you believe in the prohibitions. You believe in the legislation and the law and you accept that. This is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you do not reject that. Do not reject anything that comes to you authentically from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever that acceptance takes root and takes hold in the heart and the body, it complies. It complies outwardly in application. But each one of these conditions, they have a minimum requirement for the shahada to be established. And then there's also the completion and perfection of that. You understand? Because we have seen that there will be believers who are people of the shahada, but they will be punished in the fire. You understand that? They have the shahada, but their shahada was tainted. They have the shahada, but their shahada became light in the scale. And they met Allah in that manner. And Allah did not pardon them. Rather, He punished them according to their deeds. They're people of La ilaha illallah. They're people of Iman. They're people of Tawheed. There are some that were punished in the fire. They brought these conditions, but they did not fulfill the requirements properly. They were negligent in one way or another. Many times it goes back to this affair here, abad-an-qiyad, fulfilling the rights of tawheed, the rights of the shahada and la ilaha illallah in application. And that which perfects the shahada is complying in obedience to Allah and establishing the commandments and prohibitions. So the bare minimum is al-istiqama, al-iltizam bil-ahkam al-shar'iyyah. You have to accept it. You have to accept that alcohol is haram. You have to accept that zina is haram. You have to accept that the salat is an obligation. You understand that? He accepts that. The zakat is an obligation. He believes in that obligation. Even if he failed to pay zakat because he's stingy. He's stingy, he's greedy, for example. This will not invalidate the shahada. It will weaken the shahada, but it is not invalidated, so long as he believes that he's sinning. You understand? Drinking alcohol, likewise. He gets drunk or he gets high, but he believes that he's sinning while doing it. In this manner, he has brought the fundamental aspect of al-qabul. He accepts the legislation. He believes that he's sinning. He doesn't think he's doing good. He knows that he's wrong, but he's tried by his desires. He's tried by his desires. So here he's a sinner. You understand? He's a sinner from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the minimum requirement, that he will consider himself accountable to the Islamic legislation. While he accepts the commandments and prohibitions, then he must also outwardly establish in action enough that will correct his religion, correct his deen, and he establishing the salat, for example. But if he fell short in some of the rights by not performing the obligations properly, or he's negligent, or he violates some of the prohibitions, this will not take him out of the fold of Islam. This will not invalidate his shahada entirely, so long as he accepts the guidance and believes in the legislation and knows that he's wrong. As for if he claimed that these are personal decisions, it's a personal choice. If you want to fast, you can fast. It's on you. It's a personal decision. It's a personal. If you want to pray, you can pray. Praying is good. But if you don't want to pray, you don't have to. It's a free world. This statement right here, this creed right here, invalidates the shahada. You understand that? Even if he prayed all day long. Even if he prayed all day long. It's the creed here. So he must accept this legislation. He must accept this law. He must believe in these well-known obligations. He must believe in these established obligations that are known by necessity from the religion. Everyone knows that the salat is obligatory 5 times a day. So a person, he will not be able to deny that. If he denies that, then he has rejected the shahada in this aspect. We understand. You understand? For if he denied the obligation of zakat, or he denied the obligation of sawm, for example, he denied the obligation. He said, fasting is good. I'm going to fast. But then he says, but it's not an obligation. If you want to, you can. It's good for you. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. It's your own choice. Right? This right here, this creed right here, invalidates the deed. There's an ijma' about this. There's a consensus. There's a consensus about the one who denies one of these pillars about Islam. He has, this is the action of apostasy. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. So this is from the minimum requirement of qabul. And that he accepts this legislation and law. But for it to be proper and correct, he must strive against his soul, accepting wholeheartedly all of the guidance that has come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving to implement that, be prioritizing, and beginning with that takes precedence, at the head of that, the commandments, establishing them, and the prohibitions, avoiding them and leaving them. And then after that, he will hasten to the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, and the field of seeking his pleasure by doing the non-obligatory actions and the recommended affairs. So this is the issue with regards to the qabud and the inqiyad. Some of the people on knowledge, they'll mention it backwards. They'll say inqiyad comes first, is inward, and the qabud is outward. And others, they say that qabud is from the inward aspect, and that's when the inqiyad is from the outward aspect. Allah knows best. Well, Shaykhuna Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Shaykhuna Shaykh Abdul Razak, he mentioned that wallahu alam al-inqiyad thamaratu al-qabul. Al-inqiyad thamaratu al-qabul. So the compliance is the fruit of acceptance. Accepting the shahada wholeheartedly, accepting the commandments and the law and legislation, accepting the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this leads and produces the fruits of compliance and application. Compliance and application. So he says here, سؤال ما دليل اشتراط الإخلاص من الكتاب والسنة. What is the evidence for the condition of sincerity from the Quran and the Sunnah? الجواب قال الله تعالى ألا لله الدين الخالص. The answer, Allah the Most High, he said, surely the religion, meaning the worship and obedience, is for Allah alone. ألا لله الدين الخالص. That which Allah he accepts, that which Allah he accepts, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the pure religion. Is the pure religion. And that means in the statement, لا إله إلا الله, because this is the statement of ikhlas. The statement of at ikhlas. So the one who makes the shahada, he must say it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. He must say it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى فَعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ. And he also said the Most High, so worship Allah alone. So worship Allah alone, making the religion purely for His sake. Doing the religious deeds sincerely for Allah's sake alone. You need not to show off or to set up any rivals with Allah Azza wa Jal whatsoever and worship. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أسعد الناس بشفاعتي من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبي. And likewise, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, the happiest of people with my intercession on the day of resurrection will be the one who says لا إله إلا الله sincerely from his heart. Sincerely from his heart. This narration here is collected by Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And this is clarifying again. And in order to benefit from the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of resurrection, then a person, he must be sincere in his testimony, la ilaha illallah. So those who violate this testimony, la ilaha illallah, by calling on the Prophet now in this life, waliyadhu billah, or others seeking intercession through them without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, manner they have violated that affair, and they have prohibited and forbidden themselves from that which they're seeking. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, in order to benefit from the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person, he must die as a believer. He must be one who says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ خَالِصًا مِّن قَلْبِهِ مُسْتَيْقِنًا بِهَا قَلْبُهُ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. You understand that? He must say it sincerely from his heart. Sincerely from his heart. The one who says it sincerely from his heart, he will not call on a grave. He will not call on the grave. He will not slaughter for a jinn. He will not call on the grave. He will not slaughter for a jinn. You understand that? He will not have his heart attached to the creation. His heart is attached to the creator. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sent with. أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ بِالشَّفَاعَةِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ خَالِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. So therefore, al-ikhlas is a condition that when he says it sincerely from his heart, a condition for لا إله إلا الله. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى حرم على النار من قال لا إله إلا الله يبتغي بذلك وجه الله. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, indeed Allah has forbidden the fire for the one who says لا إله إلا الله seeking thereby the face of Allah. Seeking thereby the face of Allah. And he meaning that he's sincere. He's sincere and he's wholehearted in that statement that he has made. This narration here is collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Itban ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. Inna Allah ta'ala harrama 'ala an-nari man qala la ilaha illa Allah yabtaghi bidhalika wajha Allah. So ibtigha wajha Allah, yani al-ikhlas. Al-ikhlas, yani seeking the face of Allah, you need to do it sincerely for the pleasure of Allah, to do it only for the sake of Allah, and hoping that Allah will accept it from you, and that you will see Him in the Jannah, that you will see Him, His beautiful face in the Jannah, and may Allah allow us to see Him in the Jannah from those noble believers. But we must say this statement sincerely, while we know what it means, while we know what it means. So here, to clarify, and inshallah, for those who have attended in previous classes, it will be easy to see that what is intended, the one who says La ilaha illallah seeking the face of Allah, Allah will forbid him from the fire. Allah will forbid him from the fire. Allah will forbid him from the fire. So those whom Allah forbids from the fire because they made this statement sincerely are two categories. Those who are forbidden from the fire in entirety, and those who are forbidden from abiding in the fire. You understand that? So the people of La ilaha illallah, there are those who will be safe from the fire in entirety, and there are those who are safe from abiding in the fire for eternity. Right? So the shahada, it will protect absolutely everyone who states it and lives upon it and dies upon it from abiding in the fire for eternity. But it will not guarantee safety from the fire in entirety until the rights are upheld entirely. Wadih? You understand that? So somebody may say it, and he's sincere in that, but he's negligent in fulfilling some of the rights, any of the obligations and prohibitions. He violated these affairs and died in these manners, and he died in this manner. And if Allah wills, he'll punish him, but it's a punishment of purification, a punishment of purification. Understand this? So this is what it means. Inna Allah harrama 'ala an-nar, forbade from the fire, any of those who say it property and correctly, and they strive against the soul to uphold those rights entirely, then they are forbidden from the fire in entirety. Alhamdulillah, may Allah make us from them and our family and our loved ones. But then there are others who say it, and they establish the fundamental principles. They bring these conditions in general, but they're negligent with regards to some of these rights, sacred rights of Islam. They're negligent with regards to the commandments and prohibitions. They're negligent with regards to the commandments and prohibitions. So long as they live and die upon Islam, while they still have the shahada, it will benefit them. But it will not protect them entirely. If it's not kept clean, if it's not cherished, if it's not deeply rooted, it will not be strong enough to protect the person from the fire. Understand that? In entirety. In entirety. Meaning he'll be tried by that. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ If Allah wills. سُؤَال مَا دَلِيلُ الصِّدْقِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ Question. What is the evidence for the condition of truthfulness from the Qur'an and the Sunnah? الجواب قال الله تعالى ألفنا ميم حسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين وليعلمن الكاذبين إلى آخر الآيات. The author said the responses, the Allah the Most High, he said ألفنا ميم. Do the people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and they will not be tested? And we indeed tested those who are before them, and Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are truthful, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars. The falsehood of those who are liars. وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. And the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, he said, no one bears witness that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah truthfully from his heart, except that Allah forbids the fire for him. Except that Allah forbids the fire for him. وَقَالَ لِلْعَرَابِ الَّذِي عَلَّمَهُ الشَّرَائِ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ قَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَزِيدُ عَلَيْهَا وَلَا أَنْقُسُ مِنْهَا فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَفْلَحَ إِنْ صَدَقَ. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the desert Arab, the man who he had taught the obligations of Islam, and then the man said, by Allah, I will neither add to this nor diminish anything from it. Though, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, he has succeeded if he is truthful. If he is truthful. So the first narration the author he mentioned is muttafaqun alayhi from the hadith Anas radiallahu anhu, marfu'an. مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. No one bears witness that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah truthfully from his heart. Sidqan min qalbihi. Sidqan min qalbihi. The other narration, kharisan min qalbihi. The other narration, mustaqinan biha qalbuhu. So these conditions are here. Dakhla al-jannah. Harramahu Allah al-nar. So this is very clear that these are requirements for the shahada to benefit. These are requirements for the shahada to benefit a person. He says it truthfully from his heart, except that Allah forbids him. Except that Allah forbids the fire for him. Forbids the fire for him. The interpretation here is similar to that which has preceded. And the Arabi who came and he asked about the rights of Al-Islam, the obligations of Al-Islam, the five daily prayers, and the charity, and the fasting, the month of Ramadan. And he said, is there anything other than that? He said, no, that if you do this, you enter paradise. So the Arabi, he said, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَزِيدُ عَلَى هَذَا وَلَا أَنْقُسُ. I'm not going to do anything more nor anything less than this. And he mean I'm going to fulfill those obligations that's upon me. I'm not going to do anything extra. Anything extra. So the Prophet ﷺ said about him, أَفْلَحَ in صَدَقَ, that he will be successful if he's truthful. If he's truthful to that claim that he made, that he will fulfill those rights that are obligatory. So the one who fulfills those obligatory rights, he will be successful. And if he's truthful in doing that. If he's truthful in doing that. So by being truthful in that shahada, person, he'll be safe from an-nifaq. Understand that? So if he's truthful in that, in his shahada, he'll be safe from an-nifaq. If he's sincere and truthful, he's safe. If he's truthful, he's safe from an-nifaq. An-nifaq al-itiqadi, from the major nifaq, an-nifaq al-akbar. He's safe from that. And if he strives to uphold the rights of that, bil-qabooliha wa qiyadi laha, an application, then he will also be safe from an-nifaq al-amali, an-nifaq al-asghar, the smaller nifaq, which is an application. And he'll be safe from resembling the hypocrites. by claiming to believe, yet he contradicts that claim by doing actions that are contrary to faith, like sins and actions of disobedience. These are all actions that are contrary to faith. They're opposite to faith, but they're not so severe that they uproot the faith, but they definitely diminish and have a great effect on the faith. So the person who's truthful in that shahada, striving in that manner, he'll be safe from both of those. But the bare minimum is to be safe, truthful with Allah in that shahada, safe from nifaq al-i'tiqadi. And if he testifies truthfully and he believes that from the bottom of his heart. If he's sincere in that, then he'll be safe from al-ikhlas. When he's sincere in that, he'll be safe from shirk. He'll be safe from shirk. So he'll be safe from major shirk. Alhamdulillah, shirk akbar, by making that statement, shahada la ilaha illallah. And then if he strives against his soul, fighting against himself and his desires and his whims to purify his deeds for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he'll also be safe from al-riya' wa sum'ah, wanting to be seen and wanting to be heard. Wanting to be seen and wanting to be heard. But he could be sincere in that statement and then still be tried by al-riya' wa sum'ah. And he still has the shahada, but it becomes light because of showing off and wanting to be seen, wanting to be heard. You understand? Or shahada could become light. He says it. He's not a hypocrite. I mean, he's not saying something, and he doesn't say he believes, and he doesn't believe. No, he believes, but his belief is weak. His faith is weak. So he does actions contrary to faith, like lying or cheating, or taking wealth unrightfully, or taking money and contracts that are unlawful and the likes like this, or coming to the prayer lazily, so on and so forth, like the hypocrites. So he has the shahada, but it's deficient because he has this resemblance here. Where is his weakness here? In the sidq. The one who's showing off and wanting to be heard, or wanting status or position in the dunya, where is his deficiency at? In the ikhlas type. The one who accepts it, and he complies to it in general, but he has weakness in performing the obligations and fulfilling those rights, and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions, he has a problem with them. With the application of that affair. So now he has a resemblance to the Jews. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ الْمَغْلُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَلَا يَعْمَلُونَ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They're the people who know the truth, but they don't apply it. They do not apply it. So until a person, he complies in entirety, he'll not be safe from that way. And likewise, if we go back to knowledge, the one who doesn't know it properly, he has resemblance to النصارى الضالون الذين يقولون ما لا يعلمون ويفعلون ما يهوون. There's those who say what they have no knowledge of. They speak about Allah without knowledge, and they worship Allah without knowledge according to their desires. So a person, he will not be safe from the way of the Nasara until he has that knowledge properly. He will not be safe from the ways of the Jews until he implements that in application properly. And he will not be safe from the ways of the Mushrikeen until he purifies his creed and his deeds for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla with ikhlas. And he will not be safe from the ways of the hypocrites until he strives against his soul to be truthful with Allah Azza wa Jalla in public and private by obeying him in compliance, whether the people see him or not. He works for Allah. He's truthful in his shahada and la ilaha illallah. Su'al, ma dalil ishtirati li mahabbati min al-kitabi wa sunnah? What is the evidence for the condition of love from the Quran and the sunnah? Al-jawab, qala Allah ta'ala, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. And the answer is Allah the Most High. He says, O you who believe, whoever from among you turns back from his religion, Allah will bring a people who he will love and they will love him. May Allah make us from them. وَقَالَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدِ إِذْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُكْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, there are three qualities, whoever possesses them will taste the sweetness of faith: that Allah and his messenger are more beloved to him than anything else, that he loves the person and he does not love him except for the sake of Allah, that he loves a person and does not love him except for the sake of Allah, and that he hates to return to disbelief after Allah has rescued him from it, just as he would hate to be thrown into the fire. So al-iman, it has a sweetness that is tasted with the heart. Just like food, it has a sweetness that is tasted with the tongue. But just like whenever the body becomes sick, many times the tongue will not be able to taste the sweetest and most delicious dishes. It will become bland. Or maybe he'll reject it and not like it at all. Similarly, whenever the heart becomes sick, it will not be able to taste the sweetness of faith. And that which makes the heart sick are the sins and actions of disobedience, negligence with regards to the rights of the Shahada and La ilaha illallah. Negligence with regards to the rights of the Shahada and La ilaha illallah. So the one who strives in this manner to uphold these rights in public and in private, in the day and the night, then he will taste the sweetness of faith. He will taste the sweetness of faith. He will love the Shahada and he will never let it go. He will love the Shahada and he will never let it go. So from here we see that in order to taste that sweetness, there are three affairs. First, that Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are more beloved to him than anything else. So the foundation is to love Allah and to make the love for the sake of Allah. So you love Allah and the love of Allah takes precedence over all things. And then you love for the sake of Allah. At the head of that, loving the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than you love your own soul. More than you love your own soul. More than you love your own children. More than you love your own soul. More than you love your own children. More than you love your own parents. More than you love anyone in the dunya. You love the Messenger more than that for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. So therefore that love is checked with the reins of the legislation, not left to the desires, not left to the whims or to the desires. And then after that, likewise, you love based upon that, those whom Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam love, and that which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam love, you love it for the sake of Allah. You love them for the sake of Allah. And you also, along with that, you dislike to ever violate any aspect of that ever, or to fall into disbelief with the other billah, just like you would dislike to ever be thrown in a fire. So the way to understand this is to imagine a person overpowered by someone, grabbing him and throwing him into a fire. Waliyadhi billah. May Allah protect us from that. So you imagine that. Some strong people, they build a fire and then they capture him and they overpower him and they throw him in that fire. How would he feel? This idea is something that you flee from. You will never want that to happen. The same way you will never want that to happen, you will never want to lose your religion. The same way you would never like for somebody to throw you into a fire without your, you understand that? The same feeling that you get when you think about that is the same feeling you must have whenever you think about losing your religion. Leaving out Islam, you hate to leave your religion the same way you would hate to be thrown in a fire. This is clear. This is not talking about the issue of somebody being coerced, right? If he's coerced to say action of disbelief, some people, they misunderstand this. And if you're coerced, somebody has, for example, a pistol to your head and they tell you to curse the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say a statement of disbelief. Here you have the license. إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَا وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِمَانِ. We're not talking about this. We're talking about the affair of the heart, that you must love Islam so much that you would hate to ever leave this deen, the same way you would hate to be cast in the fire. The same way you would hate for this to happen to you, you would hate that or greater for your religion to be taken from you. You love it and you cherish it that much. You understand that? In this manner, a person who would taste the sweetness of faith. The sweetness of faith. After this, the author, he mentions an affair with regards to al-muwalat wal-mu'adat, which is based upon this condition. We'll take this in our class tomorrow, inshaAllah. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.